Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on this Thursday, September 26th, 2019. Today's all about WWE in review, where I talk with Mary Grader, one of my three co-hosts, awesome three co-hosts that we have on the show, and discuss everything that happens in WWE, at least the big ticket items in this week, and discuss Daniel Bryan and his potential turn back to heel. We discuss Kevin Owens and Shane that we are couldn't both agree we're completely over, and Luke Harper and his return, as well as Brock and Kofi. And what are Kofi's chances of actually walking out of SmackDown next Friday as WWE champion? I think you probably know the answer there. But we break it all down and what it could mean, and what it could mean if Kofi does retain clean. We actually discuss that possibility as well. And the state of the entire women's division of not just SmackDown, but Raw. And so we really covered the entire spectrum of big ticket items as we roll closer to Hell in a Cell, and of course go over The Fiend and his attack on Braun Strowman. So lots that we discussed, and we even discussed Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's right, we actually discussed it. It's a very interesting conversation, and we get to that at the very beginning of our talk. So those of you that are Buffy fans, or maybe not know what I'm talking about, or maybe you think you won't care, trust me, you'll care. Mary had an awesome experience this past week that I wanted to share with you guys, and I think you'll enjoy it. So that's the beginning of our conversation. But first, guys, this is the WWE Podcast, and we are on the air four times a week, covering Raw, covering SmackDown, covering pay-per-views, discussing with co-hosts. It's just a wide range of things. And, of course, on patreon.com/WWE podcast, where you can get all of those shows ad-free, plus video feeds that in videos that I do randomly throughout the week to, I don't know, anything from talking points to random thoughts and maybe a quick rant or two that I share exclusively with Patreon members at patreon.com/WWE podcast. It is only for those members. So check it out if you have a moment, or just head to the website at WWEpodcast.com. So check that out. But let's just get to the conversation. Let's just get to the conversation with Mary Grader, not leave you guys in suspense. And I'll be back Sunday with your wrestling nostalgia segment. And then, of course, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we may be tinkering the schedule as SmackDown moves to Friday nights. But more on that on Sunday. And until then, guys, I'll talk to you next time. Okay, it's Thursday, and I've got Mary Grader with me. And before we get to any of the wrestling, we were just talking off the air about her larger-than-life experience that she had this week. So we're going to get to wrestling, guys. We're going to get to all of the things that happened this week, all the major items, and there's lots to talk about. But before we do that, I just want to have everybody listen to Mary's experience here, because it's pretty relatable in terms of wrestling as well. So, Mary, go ahead. The stage is yours.
I don't even know where to start. So if you follow me on social media, and this is how the conversation got brought up, my social has been blowing up for like 3 days with, it's not even like people I don't know. It's just people in my life that I've known, you know, my whole life, my coworkers, people that I've known since I was a kid, just giving me love because I met Sarah Michelle Gellar on Tuesday at my job, Buffy Summers in the flesh. And if anybody who knows me, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is my favorite TV show of all time. It's my favorite character of all time. And it was just a once-in-a-lifetime chance. And she was super sweet and super nice. And I was marking out. I'll use the term. That's the biggest markout I've ever had in my life. I've met wrestlers. I've met musicians. But I couldn't keep my crap together. I was shaking like a leaf. And I got the opportunity to meet her, and it was, you know, I wanted to make the most of it, because you, when you meet famous people, you always have like a plan in your head, you know, and what you're going to say to them and how they've affected your life. And I had this whole plan when I met Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, and I completely blanked out and turned into a 16-year-old schoolgirl. So, you know, I wasn't going to mess this up. And I told her, I was like, you know, you have no idea how much of an important part of my life you are. You've been in my life since I was 16, and Buffy was the same age as me when the show started. So Buffy Summers was 16 and I was 16. And I was like, you have no idea that you've been in my life and a part of my life and been there for me in every dark corner of my life. Like, it's my security blanket. Everybody knows, like, if I'm upset, if I can't sleep, if I have really bad anxiety because I have anxiety disorder, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer goes on TV, and I've seen it a billion times and I still watch it. So I was able to tell her that, and I started, and I got tears in my eyes now because I started like almost just crying and I'm shaking, you know, and she like bunched up her face and she like looked like, oh my God. And she was like, oh my God, don't be nervous. It's okay. You're so sweet. And she's like, that's so awesome. And she hugged me because she knew I was like going to lose it. So, you know, you're always nervous when you meet the people that you look up to or have impacted your life so much. And, you know, she was beyond graceful. She was so, so appreciative of the words. She knows how much that show means to everybody who's a fan of that show. And usually the fans of that show are diehard, obsessive, cult status, you know, whatever, because Buffy Summers is literally the, in my opinion, the greatest heroine of all time, just by her morals and everything that she is. So I had a crazy day on Tuesday, and it was only 5 minutes, and it was the best 5 minutes of my life. She took a picture. I have a Buffy tattoo behind my ear. I have a B that, if you know how the title looks, they write the B specially. So I have that behind my ear. I got it a couple years ago, and she was like, oh my God, that's so awesome. Can I take a picture of it? And I was like, yeah. And she put it up on her Instagram story today. So I started freaking out. So yeah, my phone's been blowing up for like 3 days, and it's just like love from people going, I'm so happy that you got to meet this woman who has impacted you and created, basically formed the kind of person that I am. And I've always related to her. So I started off with a Giants win on Sunday. Yeah. And then on Tuesday, I got to meet my idol. I mean, I'm a fan of Sarah Michelle Gellar, but like, it's not very often that you meet your, you know, a superhero or a comic book character in the flesh and in real life. And I was able to meet my favorite thing in the whole entire world. So it was a crazy experience.
And you never know how they're actually going to be in real life. I mean, they could portray the nicest character on TV, and you just never know how they're actually going to translate into real life. And it sounds like she's a true sweetheart. And yes, quick tad on the Giants. I don't know. I'm a Giants fan too. I don't know if it was so much a Giants win as a Bucks loss. I'll take it any way I can. Like, trust, our season was saved on Sunday. But back to Buffy. Yeah. I can relate to that on a different level, not with Buffy, but with wrestling. And so we'll get into that too. But I saw one of the pictures you had with her. I didn't see the tattoo picture. So is that on your Instagram and Twitter as well?
It's on all my social. Yeah. It's on my Insta. It's pinned on my Twitter. It's on my Facebook, which is just for my personal use. But yeah, it's all over the place. Like, people have been retweeting it and stuff like that. But it's on her actual story. So if you go to Sarah M. Gellar on Instagram, it's in her story right now, because she was doing press in New York the other day. So, but we were relating it to wrestling, because I was trying to say that, like, I've always been, and now being the age that I am, 38, so like, I have a whole history now, you know, I'm pushing 40. And like, I've always loved superheroes and comics. And I was saying, I don't remember when I started watching wrestling. But, you know, kids are drawn to wrestling because it's like real life superheroes. You know, they got outfits, they're flying around the ring, they're doing their thing, you know. And then after that, shortly after, the X-Men cartoon came out, and that was like my first big introduction to Marvel, which is a huge thing in my life. I love Marvel comics. So I became obsessed with the X-Men. And then Buffy the Vampire Slayer came out technically in 1992 with the movie, which, you know, it is in the verse. It is official. But it was a different take on it, and I was obsessed with the movie. Like, it came out, I was 11 years old. I was Buffy in seventh grade before the show started for Halloween. My mom made me a costume. me and my childhood best friend would like recite the movie line for line when we would have sleepovers at our house. So when they, you know, when I heard the show was coming out, I was probably one of the only people watching that premiere when it was a mid-season replacement. It premiered in January, not like a normal fall schedule on the WB. And I've watched it since day one. So, you know, I've always had an obsession with superheroes. And I met AJ Lee, this is how it ties in the wrestling, a few years ago at WrestleMania 29 at the Access. I was one of the last people, and they actually were trying to turn me away, and they were like, no, you can meet her. And we were talking, and she complimented me on my belt because we have a very similar style. I always joke that AJ stole my style when she started dressing in the gear that she was in. And then we were just talking, and she was like, yeah, I have a belt. I was like, I've had this belt forever. She's like, yeah, the belt I wear when I wrestle. I've worn it since high school, like all this stuff. You know, she's from New Jersey, so we're very similar. And then, like, we were leaving, and I know she's a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. And I looked at her, and I was like, I got one question. And she's like, yeah, shoot. And I was like, Buffy or Faith? And Faith is the other Vampire Slayer on the show, if you don't watch. And she's like, that's a really hard question. She's like, I want to say Faith because Faith is the evil one, and she's the brunette, and she's the sexy one and stuff like that. She goes, but my heart is always Buffy. And it was the exact same question answer that I would have said. So that's my wrestling Buffy story.
That's pretty damn cool. I mean, like, so this Buffy, I mean, show, like, I know Buffy from the fact of, like, I'm 34, so I'm kind of in the same age range of when that show came on. And I was, so if you were 16, I was 12 at the time that it actually came out. But, I mean, I remember the show from, I mean, being 12, 13 years old, I'm an adolescent boy looking at really hot girls on TV, and I'm like, wow,
kicking,
like,
ass.
Yeah, like, yeah. So it was kind of like, hey, this is pretty damn cool, you know. And I know that Angel was a crossover show at one point. Wasn't Angel?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I remember that show crossed over with Buffy, and I don't know if it was an ongoing crossover, but I remember
it was a spinoff. So they had a spinoff for Angel. Angel was her vampire boyfriend on the show for the first three seasons of Buffy, and he was so popular they gave him his own show. So
okay. Okay, because I remember he was like the Mr. McDreamy too. I mean, so yeah.
Yes,
I mean,
but I'm a Spike girl. I was Spike. An Angel girl, but I'm definitely a Spike girl. Spike's my vampire. So
okay, wasn't he? Was he bad? I thought he was bad.
Yes, he was. Yeah. But long story. We don't have enough time for that.
Oh no! All right, we'll have to do a totally separate show on Spike. I mean, I don't know a whole lot other than, like, now you're triggering my memory from like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But hey, yeah, no, definitely, and. You should definitely start up the Buffy podcast if you did. I'm trying
to do it. Yeah. I'm working on it, guys. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get my really good friend. I got a comic signed by her on Tuesday. That it's not her likeliness or anything, but there was a particular reason why I bought it. But my friend Dan, how we became friends was when I was working at Starbucks years ago. He found out I was a huge Buffy fan, and he is a huge Buffy fan. He has multiple Buffy tattoos, and we became friends because he would come into the store and buy me the comic and give me the new week of the comic. So whenever a new comic came out, he would come in and give me a comic, and that's how we became friends. So, yeah, I'm trying to con him. I haven't seen him in a while. And I was like, dude, we got to do this. Like, this is like ridiculous that we aren't already doing it. So I'm working on it. It's been a dream of mine for a while.
Yeah, you should definitely go for it. And well, tell me this, because I don't know this. How many years did the show run for?
The show ran for 7 years, and then Angel ran for 5 years. Okay, so sure. The verse, they're planning on rebooting it, but not recasting Buffy. They're going to be doing almost another spinoff show based on a new Slayer within the universe because of the whole season 7 finale, which is another story for another day. So, okay. I mean, we might see her back on TV. When I saw her the other day, she looked like she was back in Buffy shape. It's not that she was never in shape. She just, you know, she's doing the mom thing and stuff, but like when I saw her, it was like, holy crap, she looks like she's like in shape to be Buffy. So I don't know, maybe that's a rumor. Maybe I'm giving you an exclusive right now.
Well, vampires don't sleep. She's got to make sure she's always ready, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I guess the only thing, and I just transitioning this into wrestling, the only thing that I can actually compare this to in my life is meeting Stone Cold And, you know, he had such an impact on my life. And, you know, people, oh, really? He shaped your life? He's a, you know, he's a professional wrestler. He's not a real. And I'm like, look, like, he, I mean, you can kind of vouch for this, too, that certain characters you just gravitate towards. And not that you necessarily mimic what they do. Obviously, I'm not going around giving people stunners and flipping them off and drinking a whole bunch of beer. At the same time, like, it's just the characteristics that you admire and gather strength from. I don't even know how to put it into words. But meeting him, I only had a couple of minutes, and it was in the Albany International Airport, and he was doing a show. It was right before WrestleMania 17, and I remember meeting him and his wife Deborah at the time, who were having marital problems, and you could tell by their conversation. So I felt like an asshole going in and interrupting them, but at the same time, like I got in there, and I don't even know what I said. I was like, oh, I'm gonna say this, this, and this, and like you said, you draw a blank, and I go in there, I'm like blah, 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 like a fool. And I remember him saying to me, oh, you going to the show tonight? And I couldn't even answer. I felt like an idiot. So, yeah, I mean, I totally understand. It's just a starstruck. Something, it's bigger than life. And you're looking at them and you're like, is this really them? Like, because you just idolized them for the longest time. So I know the feeling for sure.
And it's crazy, too, especially, I mean, just from my perspective, it's like I feel like I know her. I know I don't know Sarah Michelle Gellar, but Buffy as a character, you know, I think we would be best friends in real life. Like, so it's just you're looking at her and you're like, I can't believe she's actually in front of me right now. I have so much to say to her. Mm-hmm. And like, you're just trying to figure out how to, like, you know, compress it. And so you can go to your grave and be like, at least I told this person that she affected my life positively. And whenever I'm down and I don't know what to do, it's kind of off. I'm going to touch on Supernatural, too. In the first season of Supernatural, they have these ghost hunters that aren't Sam and Dean, and they go WWBD, and they go, what would Buffy do? So it's kind of a thing like, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Buffy do? So because her character is so, I mean, she's not perfect. Mm-hmm. She's not perfect, but she damn tries to be her, you know, perfect. And she has flaws and, you know, she's got a huge responsibility. So anytime that I'm down, it's just like, okay, you know, how do you get through this? And I can think of a quote from the show that has affected me. And it was the best 5 minutes of my life. Yeah. I don't think anything will ever. And I met Trent Reznor, and everybody knows how obsessed I am with Trent Reznor. It was more than that, you know. And Trent was great, and he was nice. I drew a blank because you know, it's Trent Reznor. But I don't think there will ever be anything that will top that 5 minutes that I got, that she took out of her time. She's very busy, you know. She's super famous. And she was more, she hugged me twice. She hugged me when she left too. It was insane. And I just, the love I've been getting from my friends and people in my life going, I'm so happy that you got to do this and you got to meet her, because we know how much that show means to you and it's everything to you. So it was a good Tuesday.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it was based on, I mean, on the pictures, like you said, I saw you, I was like, well, if she was really happy to meet her, wouldn't she be like smiling? And,
I was terrified. I was so nervous and I was shaking so bad. And I shake because I'm thin and I'm always cold and stuff like that. And I have anxiety disorder. But like, I was so nervous that I couldn't even smile. And I'm like kind of insecure about my smile. So I was just like, don't smile. Don't look like an idiot in it. You know, so I couldn't even. And like the handlers that were there, the team were there. They're like, oh my God, she's trembling. Like, I couldn't get my comic out of the sleeve and I couldn't get the pop out of the case because she signed one of my pops. My Funko Pops. And I'm just like sitting there going, oh my. And like, just so everybody was aware that I wasn't like trying to act like super cool and like ignore, I kept going, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Oh my God, I'm such a mess. Like, you know, and that's why she was like, don't be nervous. She's like, it's okay. She's like, you're really sweet. She's like, don't worry about it. You know, she was trying to like calm me down, but I was shaking so bad. I was terrified that I was going to do something so stupid in front of her and be like, oh my God, you just made an ass out of yourself in front of Buffy Summers. Like, what is wrong with you? You know? So that's why I wasn't smiling in the picture. I think it's a terrible picture. Everybody said it was a good picture, but the picture with the tattoo is by far much better. So.
Okay. All right. Now. Well, look, you had 21 years of bottled up emotions towards this character that she played. So it's, I mean, I think it's reasonable to assume that when you see this person in real life, you freeze up. I mean, it's 21 years.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and I thought I would. I did that during, like, you know, Nine Inch Nails is like my favorite band, and like Trent Reznor is my favorite lyricist, and I think he's an absolute genius. And I did the same thing too, but it was just a complete different level, because somebody said to me, like, musicians are different than people portraying characters, because, like, you know, you hear music, you don't see them all the time, but like, this was a person who was a constant in my life for 7 years. I mean, it still is, but like, I watched that show. I didn't work. I made sure I was off work, like nothing. I taped it if there was, for some reason, I wasn't going to be home, like when we had VCRs, kids, you know. So it was just seeing like the character, like this person that you went through their life for 7 years with, is like unbelievable. Like, it's just, it's insane. I mean, I've known about Sarah Michelle Gellar since she was on All My Children. My mom watched All My Children. She played Erica Kane's daughter. So like, I've been watching her basically since she was 15 years old, or 18, I think she was when she was on that show. But like, it's like, it didn't even matter. Like, All My Children, Schmoozin, whatever. It was like, this is Buffy Summers. Like, she is the toughest, baddest ass female superhero ever. And like, you know, when Joss Whedon did Avengers, he was asked in an interview who would win, Buffy Summers or Black Widow. And he not even blinked. He went, Buffy Summers would kick her ass. So that's a huge thing, you know? Yeah. So.
Wow. All right. Well, from one passion.
We're done with the Buffy
talk. No. It's all right. From one passion of yours to another here, with pro wrestling. So I'm not even going to give you a topic. What did you take from this week in wrestling?
It was a big week in wrestling. It felt like this. They made a lot of announcements for SmackDown next week, but I was talking about this after with a couple people after Clash. I wasn't really into Clash. I don't know why. It kind of fell flat for me. I didn't really pay attention to it. And then the Raw that was before Clash was the one that I was raving about, and then the Raw after it was terrible. And I just kind of feel like they're kind of in a stop pause right now. They're just like doing crap, because I think everything's going to be reset next week when everything moves and changes. So, but NXT was on for the second week. I still didn't get to watch it because now there is more wrestling than life and I have a lot of Spanish homework. But I watched NXT from last week and it was great. The match between Dream and, Roderick Strong was awesome, and the four way for the number one contender for the women's title was awesome. It was a big week. It feels like it's like, you know, it's kind of like anticipation. That's what I felt this week in wrestling for what's going to happen next week when everything is going to start to go. Because as soon as next week starts, we got AEW coming the next week or two, right? It's a week or two after that. So I don't know. Kind of moving things along. I really feel like the thing at the end of Raw Monday with Bray Wyatt was kind of dragged out. They're letting that music go on for too long. Is that just me or is it you?
No, I thought about the same thing. I'm like, his music's awesome. I love the special effects. But I think it's a law of diminishing returns. I think they did it so that they could maximize the amount of time that Bray Wyatt was on the screen to pop a rating at the end of Raw because he's the hottest thing that they have. But the problem with that is that you are stringing it along way too long and the people are going, okay, we get it. Like, you know, why is he still sitting here and just staring at people? I mean, it did. It went on like about a minute and a half too long. I like it quick hitting. I like him to just appear. The music goes out. The lights go off. The special effects come on. He attacks somebody. Maybe stares around for 10, 20 seconds, and then he's gone. It lasted way too long, but I still love The Fiend. I mean, let's be honest.
No, I mean, he's great. It just felt like it was overdriving. I mean, I know everybody was making fun of Seth Rollins screaming in the ring and in the faces he was making when you could see him in the flashings of the light. But yeah, it just felt like that sound effect is terrifying, but it loses its oomph if it goes on for too long. Does that make sense?
No, that's exactly what happened. It's creepy and scary, but then you look around and it's not as creepy and scary the more that you see it, because your brain becomes acclimated to it. It's more scary when there's less of it.
Yeah. So I don't know where they're doing that. I hope, like, I still think they're pulling the trigger a little fast on him getting a title shot. I mean, does that mean he's going to win the title right away and then we're going to see him? Is he going to be kind of part-time like Brock is? I don't, like, so I'm a little hesitant about it. It's still cool. I mean, that mask is terrifying. The whole thing is terrifying. I just hope they're not, you know, pulling the trigger too fast, or the bullet's coming out too fast.
And him attacking Braun Strowman, I think, and this is just my hunch, the reason he attacks Strowman, even though he's in a program with Seth Rollins, is not only because that it kind of does make sense. They have a connection back to the Wyatt family, which I'm sure will be revealed in time, but it's also an out for the Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins match at Hell in a Cell, because I don't think either can afford to lose the match clean. And you have Braun Strowman now, who has beef with the Fiend, and I could easily see him coming in his monster ways, tearing off the door, leaving both men laying, and having a no contest, a non-finish. I think that's probably how this ends, or just having Seth Rollins crawl over, and whatever damage is done from Braun to Bray, Seth just takes advantage and retains. Something along those lines. But I don't know if the Fiend should lose clean at all right now. I just see a no contest for the match at Hell in a Cell.
I mean, that's probably the best route that they're going to go. Is the match in Hell in a Cell?
It's inside the cell. Yes.
Yeah, so I feel like it, but it can it go in no contest? There's no rules in a Hell in a Cell.
Well, what can happen is you just have both men knocked out. You have referees come out, and the match is just declared stopped. I mean, you could have stoppage of the match.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that should be the route they should go if they do, but I don't know. I have no predictions for the outcome of that match right now. I really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly interesting, but again, I don't think either man can afford to lose, and I think that's just what's going on. But what did you think about Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon, the whole $25 million wrongful termination lawsuit that he has against Shane McMahon?
I just keep thinking, is this going to be the end of it? This has been going on for so long, and I feel like it's hurting Kevin Owens' character. I feel like he should be doing something else. He could be doing anything else, and I just hope that this is it. I get what he was saying on Tuesday about this is about getting him out of the locker room. It's not about the money, all that stuff, but like, I don't know, man. I'm ready for Shane to be off the TV, and I'm hoping with the transition next week he is going to be off the TV, but I don't know, man. I just, it's already worn out its welcome, and I don't know if it was anybody else, maybe it would too, but like this whole Shane thing is just, it's just this quirky, you know, cliche wrestling storyline for me personally.
I think everyone can say in unison that this has gone on way too long, and I think that after SummerSlam, when you heard Shane's music hit, you go, oh my God, why? Even Kevin Owens collapsed in the ring, and his career collapsed right with him as far as his momentum up until that point, because he was riding pretty high, you know, being the anti-authority, being defiant, stunning Shane McMahon multi times every night, and it felt cool. And I think you said it right, that Kevin Owens is really the one that's been damaged so badly, really severely. His character has been all but destroyed. Is it repairable? Yeah, but right now, from where he was after turning babyface a couple of months ago and calling out Shane for sucking up the TV time, and then we're off to the races with that whole program, he has been completely destroyed by tucking his tail between his legs from the fine, which made no sense, and then just trying to help Shane McMahon win as the referee, which made no sense. And then he says that he is going to hit Shane where it hurts and have him fine him $25 million in a wrongful termination suit, and then comes out this week and says it's not about the money. I'm like, well, what do you mean it's not about the money? Last week you just said you want to hurt him where it hurts, in his wallet. So this whole thing, whoever's writing this is probably writing the Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, who done it with the whole Roman being attacked deal. There's no congruity. It's all plot storyline holes that you have to kind of fill in yourself or ignore. I'm not a fan of this. I can't wait for it to end. The problem is, outside of all of this, is that if Shane McMahon loses, and I think we all believe he probably will because Shane is the one who should lose, is that WWE has a history of not sticking with their stipulations. Every time they said, oh, you're totally gone from WWE. How many times in the past has that happened and then they don't stick with it and they're back a month later?
Yeah, it's the same thing with the wild card rule. Like that all of a sudden, like, wasn't on TV anymore. And it just kind of seemed like, you know, everybody was going back and forth, and they still are. I mean, Bayley's been on both shows as champ because she's with Sasha and stuff like that. But they're having another draft. So it's just like, OK, well, what's going on? Are you going to have exclusive rosters, or, you know, now you have NXT basically on main, Prime Television. So are they involved in it too? Like, are they just going to start showing up? I mean, they have done that in the past when they're bringing somebody up to the main roster, but it feels like now that like NXT is on USA and they are doing that to compete with AEW, that they're going to have a set roster on AEW. I mean, I know people might be shocked, or they, I don't think like Gargano is ever getting called up. I think he's going to be a mainstay of NXT. I mean, when this whole Kevin Owens thing happened, he looked like he was teasing that he was going back to NXT. So you're right. They don't have a history of sticking with things. But this goes back to my point that I tried to make earlier. It feels like they're just kind of throwing everything out there right now, because once SmackDown goes to Fox, I think everything's going to change. I think that's actually when Heyman and Bischoff, if they have any control, are going to be in control. And with the XFL around the corner, hopefully McMahon's, you know, doing that and not doing this. So I don't know. Again, it's just a storyline that's already worn out their welcome, because I don't think it could be good. I just think they executed it badly, starting with them trying to mimic Owens as Austin. And there he won't be Austin. There will never be another Austin, and there will never be another Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens didn't need that for his character.
No, he didn't. He didn't. And I don't want him to be another Stone Cold Steve Austin. I enjoy the Stunner, but as much as I enjoy the Stunner, it still belongs and will always belong to Steve Austin, as it should. I don't need John Cena doing his terrible springboard Stunner. I don't need Kevin Owens doing it, as fun as it is to see again. It's very nostalgic to me. Again, Stone Cold's my favorite of all time. And, by the way, has also recently said he could have another match. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, so that kind of made me a little excited. But again, I'll believe it when I see it.
It's not Saudi money, though.
Yeah. Well, the Saudi money brought HBK out. I mean, it's.
I would like to think that Stone Cold Steve Austin has more integrity than that. Like, yeah, as far as the money thing, I mean, I love Shawn Michaels, but that's totally a Shawn Michaels move. I'm not surprised that he did it for the money. But Austin, I'm hoping that if he does another match, it's because he wants to do it, you know, on a pay-per-view that's not with blood money. That's all I'm
saying. No, it is. It's be honest, it's blood money. That's exactly what it is. I mean, look at that country and what they've done and what they've covered up and tried to cover up, and the relationship is just toxic. But, yeah, I think the thing is, I don't think Stone Cold's hurting for money. I really don't. He's got his own show on the USA Network. His podcast is bringing in a crap load of money from all the sponsors and ads that he runs. I don't think he's hurting for money. He gets still paid by WWE for all the merchandise
he sells.
He probably
has the biggest Legends contract there is, too.
Yeah. Let's be clear. Austin's not hurting for money. I don't think, although that, let's be honest, it's a motivating factor. It's not the only and biggest motivating factor for him to return. He has too much pride. He has too much invested in his character. He has, again, his pride is what's going to continue to make him, I think, stay retired. Would I love to see it? Would I pay, you know, and remortgage my house and take out a second mortgage to see his match? Absolutely. I would. I mean, I would do anything to see Stone Cold in another match, as long as it doesn't turn into The Undertaker, who's clearly overstayed his welcome as well. I don't want him to be a shell of who he was. I want him to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I think that Austin would agree with that too. But that was just, I mean, now I could go down that road for 2 hours. I mean, that's my where Buffy is your passion, and where you could create an entire show on her, that Austin could be a whole one for me. So now you know what I'm talking about. So the other thing, so as we're talking about Fox, the main event of the first SmackDown, again, it's not SmackDown Live anymore. It's just going to be Friday Night SmackDown. I think the live part of the show is going to be going away in the title, is Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship. Who comes out of this as with the belt?
Well, here's my question before we even get into this. How many times have they said in the last couple years since Brock has returned that he's going to have a match on television and then he doesn't do it?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Almost every single time, you know, Paul come out and be like, in action tonight, Brock Lesnar. And then Brock's like, yeah, no, screw this. I'm not doing it. Do I think he's actually going to wrestle because it's the premiere on Fox? Probably, because God knows the bonus that Brock Lesnar is going to get if he does do this match. That's probably the only reason he's going to wrestle on TV, since he hasn't wrestled on TV in years. So I don't know. If I'm looking at a business perspective, Fox wants the title on Brock Lesnar. Like, just think about it. As a booking thing, and as strong as a champion that Kofi has been, should be Kofi. He's outshone Seth Rollins as champion since he's gotten a title. I'm sorry, I love you, Seth, but they've just, like, kind of flip-flop with your character, and, like, I really hope they turn him heel soon, because I'm not digging face Seth Rollins. It's the same promo every week. I think the Becky stuff hurt him, and I like him being a weaselly, giggling guy that he was when he first turned on the Shield. That's my favorite Seth Rollins. So, I don't know. You got to look at it at a business perspective. What is WWE going to do for Fox? Like, they seem like they keep, you know, Fox wants this, and this. And, you know, WWE wants the money, and they don't want to get canceled, and they got to deliver. So I think if Fox wants Brock as the face of SmackDown, they're going to do it. I mean, I think there's also more of a possibility that we see Brock Lesnar, they adjust his contract more because he is on Fox. This is a huge deal. This is not Channel 9 that SmackDown used to be on. This is Fox. Fox is owned by Disney at this point, you know? So this is a really, 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 really big deal money-wise and, perspective business-wise for the WWE. So if we're going that route, I think Brock's walking out with that title. That would be a huge close to the first show ever on primetime TV for the WWE.
Yeah, look, he, as you just said, he has teased several matches on TV. We haven't gotten one in 15 years. But for him and WWE to falsely advertise him being in a match only to pull a rug out just for a storyline reason would be really, really bad for business. That's Fox would be pissed. The fans would be pissed. It's just not good for business. I don't care what kind of storyline reason they have for it. You cannot advertise this match and then not deliver. This is not one that would be worth any kind of storyline reason. With that being said, this match, I think, will probably last 10 minutes, maybe 15. I really believe Brock Lesnar is going to come out of this with the belt. I think Kofi's going to put up a fight. He's going to go until his last breath and hold on to that championship as long as he can. And he's going to fight the good fight and probably kick out of an F5 or two, ultimately to end to the Beast claiming the WWE Championship on the premier debut episode of SmackDown on Fox. It's just the way to go. It sets the tone for the change in networks, which Fox is and may be the biggest platform WWE could have possibly gotten for their product. I mean, you cannot get bigger than this. They've never had a TV deal bigger than this. You have to do something massive. And having Kofi retain, I don't think is the right thing to do, because, okay, it would cement him even further as champion, but I think the fans would start to resent him, number one. And number two, it's not believable to have Brock Lesnar lose clean to Kofi Kingston. Look at the credentials of Brock Lesnar. He has beaten Randy Orton to a pulp in almost a lopsided match. He completely decimated John Cena at SummerSlam in 2016, I think it was. I mean, Brock Lesnar has beaten, go down the line, and to have Kofi Kingston beat Brock Lesnar clean would not be the best thing for business. You have to make the change. I don't care if it's predictable. This is the right thing to do for business. It's going to piss some fans off, but we've had our run since April. The fans that have supported him have had a long time to go on his journey. He climbed the mountain. We all celebrated, and he's had a hell of a run, and it's just time to change the belt and change the tone on the biggest network deal that WWE's ever had.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think the fans will resent Kofi if he wins. I mean, I think it would be quite the opposite. We're going to get the typical, oh, Brock is champ again, part-time champ, he's not going to be around, blah, 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 blah. Fans are going to be pissed off if Brock wins the title on SmackDown. But logically, it's the only route to go. I don't think if there's a chance that Kofi wins, they're going to be happy about it. And I think it's going to cement him, like you said, as like this crazy, crazy champ, because Kofi Kingston cannot beat Brock Lesnar. There aren't a lot of believable opponents for Brock Lesnar. So to have Kofi go over on him, I don't think that works at all.
No, it doesn't. It does not work for Kofi Kingston, I think. Is there a chance? Absolutely. I wouldn't bet the house on it. I would say that there is a small chance that Kofi comes out on top. And when I lose, my you-know-what, if he did, I don't know, maybe. I may have an explicitly rated show if that happens, just because I do not believe that that is a correct business move for WWE. And yes, people would say, oh my God, he's going to be the absentee champion again. He's going to go run and hide with the belt on his farm in Minnesota. But the deal is, and from what I've been hearing, is that WWE has signed him to several more SmackDown dates. telling me that not only is he going to capture the belt, he's going to be drafted to SmackDown and probably be the champion on SmackDown. The last time Brock Lesnar was WWE champion was probably in 2004 before he had the complete train wreck of a match with Bill Goldberg at No Way Out, and he faced Eddie Guerrero. I think that was the last time he was WWE champion.
Wasn't he WWE champion before the Universal title came into play?
No, I don't think so.
Or when they unified the titles after Cena and Orton?
Oh, now you got me thinking. I know that he had a match with him. I didn't think it was for the championship. Now you got me thinking. All right, well, how about this? He hasn't been a champion on SmackDown since Eddie Guerrero. I'll have to go back and do my homework. But he hasn't been a champion on SmackDown since 2004. So that's where the 15 years comes in. And so, to me, it is the right move to make. You're going to have people going, Kofi should cement his legacy. Well, they already used Randy Orton to actually do that for Kofi. I think that that's the purpose of Randy Orton losing clean to Kofi, was to cement him as a legitimate champion. But for him to beat Brock Lesnar, that's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level.
I mean, you also gotta, if we're doing history, which we like to do, but, you know, WWE doesn't really like to do. I mean, SmackDown was Brock's show when Brock was the active wrestler that he was before he left and returned. So, you know, Friday Night SmackDown, Brock Lesnar was on every single week, and he was doing the mariachi with a mariachi band and all that stuff.
Oh, God,
so he was, that was hilarious. I don't care what anybody says, but that was his show. He was the face of SmackDown for a long time. So it's kind of going back to your roots. And like you said, I love Kofi as champ. He's been a great champ, great babyface champ. He's proven himself that he can carry it. He's been getting great publicity for the WWE, but it's Brock, dude. You can't have him go over on Brock.
No, you just can't. I mean, I'd like to have somebody make a case outside of it's really cement his legacy. Well, after Kofi, if Kofi beats Brock clean, where do you go with Kofi? I mean, I think, number one, it would be completely unbelievable, but where do you go with Kofi after that? He's already beaten the biggest star WWE has, and Brock Lesnar's getting some good heel heat. Kofi Kingston is a nice counter to that, but I don't think you go anywhere with Kofi. And it would also, I think, devalue Brock Lesnar just a tick, because you have a guy that's been defined as a mid-card guy for 11 years coming in. All of a sudden, he's unbeatable, and he's Superman since winning at WrestleMania. I really don't know if Kofi's lost a match, a one-on-one match, since WrestleMania. I really don't know. I don't think he has. So for him to all of a sudden just go in and he just goes in and hits a Trouble in Paradise, and Brock goes down in 1-2-3. I'm sure he'll hit Trouble in Paradise a couple of times, and we'll get some nice near falls and people believing he's going to beat Brock, but ultimately Brock's going to go into Brock mode and probably have a Brock party and end up just F5ing the hell out of Kofi Kingston, and he walks out champion. And people are going to be afraid he's going to run and hide, but I don't think that's going to be the case. WWE knows that was one of the complaints of Brock Lesnar as Universal Champion, and you know what? I complained about it too, because it devalues the belt when it's not there on a weekly or even bi-weekly basis. So for Brock to be there, even, again, maybe a two times a month, every other SmackDown I would be fine with. I just don't want him to go running high with the WWE Championship.
Yeah, and like you said, if he's got more dates signed, I don't think they're going to go that route. I don't know how long the title is going to be on Brock, but it's just, it's the move. From a business perspective, that's the move they got to do, and it's going to make the show, you know, it's going to give them credibility somewhat in the wrestling world, because it's Brock Lesnar. He's a UFC, former UFC champ. He's an actual athlete. You know, the people at Fox probably have never heard of Kofi Kingston until they start, you know, acquired WWE SmackDown. You know, there was an incident over the weekend where Rey Mysterio was at a Chargers game, I think. He was somewhere in California watching a team, and they sent him there, I guess, for publicity because WWE is going to Fox. And the announcer made fun of him and called him a luchador and had no idea that it was Rey Mysterio. And anybody who's a wrestling fan knows he's a freaking legend. He's the most famous luchador probably ever. And they ridiculed him and they made fun of him because the announcers of football don't take wrestling seriously. So to get any kind of credibility or to get anybody on board, you have to put the title on Brock Lesnar.
You just have to. And kind of the closing comments on this thing is, look, Brock Lesnar, whether he's there a lot or not, doesn't matter because as far as the argument goes that Brock Lesnar is the biggest star WWE has. Bigger than Roman Reigns, bigger than Daniel Bryan, bigger than Seth Rollins. And yes, Seth Rollins is kind of a boring Universal Champion, I will say that. But Brock Lesnar is the biggest star, and especially when it comes to crossover audience. He has legitimized himself in UFC. He's got true athletic credentials in amateur wrestling, being a two-time NCAA champion. This guy has it all in combat sports. He's not just, quote, the fake wrestler. This guy can go whoop ass. He has more name brand awareness than anybody else on the roster. It just makes sense on your debut, when you have the most eyeballs on the product, to have the biggest impact and to have people gain interest and maybe continue to watch that product beyond that first night, which is probably going to have the biggest spike in ratings and then kind of just tail off and trend off, and that's just normal. But to have the most eyeballs, you gotta have Brock Lesnar as champion. You just do. Maybe ending in some kind of wacky ending with Brock winning and then someone comes staring him down, and I don't know, something. I'm sure that they are going to end SmackDown Live in some huge way on October 4th.
I mean, you just said that. I was thinking about when we were talking about this. John Cena might show up at the end of SmackDown. Because John Cena is the second biggest star that the WWE has right now. John Cena is getting major, major movie roles. He is going to be in the DC universe. Don't be surprised if old John Boy shows up on Friday Night SmackDown.
And rumors of The Rock, who was on the premiere of SmackDown and coined the term SmackDown.
Yep,
I mean, how can you not have in L.A.? They're going to be in the Staples Center. The Rock, how many times has he made a surprise return in the Staples Center? They did that surprise return in the Staples Center. I remember it was Valentine's Day. I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I didn't get to see this live. I was really pissed off, really pissed off about it. And, yeah, that caused the whole fight for like a week. But we were at dinner, and I remember looking at my phone and going, what do you mean The Rock's back? Because that was when he was in that seven-year absence, and he was named as the guest host of WrestleMania 26, I think it was, or whatever it was. So that I remember him, and that was the Staples Center. So I would not be surprised. I'm sure The Rock is, you know, there every other week, if not has a second, third, fourth, or fifth home there. So I would not be surprised. It's perfectly fitting. I don't need him to have a match or set up a match. He could come in, do his lines, hit a rock bottom at people's elbow, and we'd be all happy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think The Rock is ever going to wrestle again, though, because I'm pretty sure that's in his contract that he's not allowed to do that. But He probably will show up. He's definitely probably going to make an appearance because SmackDown is his name. The show was made for him. But I think it's more likely we would see a John Cena, or maybe somebody we're not even thinking about that they're hiding, show up to confront Brock. Because, again, there's not a lot of people that can go toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar and make it believable.
It's all hands on deck. This show is all hands on deck. I wouldn't be surprised if Austin shows up. He seems to be kind of really I don't know, integrating himself more in the WWE product as of late. I don't know, again, how much to read into that. I'm really trying not to get myself all excited for another match. I just think that maybe he has a little extra free time, and he's like, hey, like, you know, I miss being here. I miss seeing the boys or whatever it may be. So maybe Austin shows up. I think more likely The Rock, possibly Undertaker, obviously Brock Lesnar. John Cena is absolutely believable. This show is going to be star-studded and jam-packed, as it should be on the premiere show on SmackDown on Fox. So, oh, and just so I looked it up, Brock Lesnar did win the WWE Championship, and it happened. Damn it, Mary. It happened at on August 17th, 2014 at SummerSlam, and I totally forgot about that. That was the one against John Cena. So, yeah, so I got the pay-per-view right. I did not get the year or that what was on the line right. So I got 33% of that answer correct. That is just pitiful. So
it's Brock okay. Lesnar, that's why I'm here.
I'm yeah, useless thanks knowledge for calling me out live. Calling me out in front of my entire audience. That's awesome. But he had okay. So fact is, he hasn't been WWE champion in 5 years. That is a fact. So how about that? I know I'm right about that. So a couple other things I want to touch on with you. What is your take on the whole Daniel Bryan aligning himself with Roman Reigns, allegedly, to go against Rowan and Harper at Hell in a Cell? You know, I'm not really necessarily asking for predictions, but what do you think about this whole storyline?
I don't even, like, it's a funny storyline because it was just like I watched SmackDown yesterday and I was like, Bryan, like, I didn't think of it the week before when he got attacked. Like, yesterday, I was like, Daniel Bryan's a face again. And it was just weird. It just, you know, all of a sudden, Daniel Bryan is not being, he's kind of still being the arrogant guy that he was, but I mean, he was getting the yes chance, he was getting the yes kicks, people weren't booing him and stuff like that, and he's getting attacked. And that's the funny thing about Daniel Bryan as a character. As long as he's playing heel, like, people will be like, ugh, Daniel Bryan, and he's doing his job good. But, like, Daniel Bryan gets beat up or attacked because of all the injuries that he's had and all the stuff that he's gone through, and to be wrestling right now when nobody thought he would be wrestling again, it's like automatic, like, boo that man. Like, you can't touch Daniel Bryan like that. So it's weird because, like, the whole Roman Reigns thing, it's a mirror thing, because what happened, you know, 2014, we were just talking about it, Royal Rumble, when everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Rumble, and he didn't come out, and he wasn't a surprise entrant, and Roman Reigns, you know, was there, and Batista, and all that stuff, and, like, everybody started booing Roman Reigns. If everybody remembers this, nobody was really hating on Roman Reigns until Daniel Bryan got screwed. So it's a funny thing that it's a full circle, that now he's aligning himself with them. So to your point, do I think it's a fake? Could Daniel Bryan just trying to be like, you're the reason? Are they going to bring up old stuff? I don't know. But it's working in the fact that it's making Rowan and Harper actually relevant for the first time in all their pairings since they have been on the main roster. I mean, how many versions of Rowan and Harper have we seen now? This is the third time. You know, there was rumors that Harper was leaving, that he got released. Like, he was really down on himself. I think it was around SummerSlam when he was doing dark matches or whatever it was. I don't know if it was SummerSlam or if it was Mania. I'm having a blur right there, but I know, like, there was, you know, he was supposed to be gone. And then he shows back up, he dropped a lot of weight, and, like, Luke Harper is a super talented big man. And Eric Rowan, who knew, has chops on the mic. Guy has been the silent dude for years. So I don't know what's going to happen per se with the Bryan Roman aspect of this story, but for making Rowan and Harper relevant and actually caring about their tag team, they're doing a damn good job, and it's good that they have Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns elevating them to that level.
They do, and I think this storyline is starting to make, or at least get me a little more interested than the convoluted every week. Roman's going in and interrogating Buddy Murphy or being a bully, and then Brian says he's not involved, and then all of a sudden he sees camera footage that everybody somehow missed, that Rowan is, you know, the one who threw the boxes or whatever the hell was on Roman Reigns. And then it was the twin, I don't know, the doppelganger of Eric Rowan. Yeah, like, all of a sudden they had captured this guy, which was never explained. And, I mean, just there's so much stuff that just made no sense, and it was like, where the hell are they going with this? And they said, oh, Rowan was the one, and apparently Rowan was the one to actually do this. Okay, they need to build a new star. Okay, I respect that. And Rowan has been a good soldier for how many years in the Wyatt family, and then he was solo for a little bit, back with the Wyatt family, part of the Bludgeon Brothers, solo. And then now back again with Harper. They don't have a name, but I would assume it's just Harper and Rowan. I mean, that's just kind of the names that go together, that when you think of one, you think of the other. I would like Luke Harper to get a voice. We haven't heard a thing from him since his return. I would like to hear what his take is on all of this, why he returned, what his mission is, what his motivations are, and we haven't heard a damn thing yet. And Harper is the one that I think is still the bigger star, even though Eric Rowan has certainly been the most relevant that he's ever been in his entire career, and I'm glad that he can actually cut a halfway decent promo, but I would like to hear a little bit from Luke Harper.
Yeah, I would too, but Harper always had that silent, weird thing going for him too. They both were quiet when they were in the Wyatt family. Harper did talk a little more when he was in the Wyatt family, but I feel like we'll get something, but I'm okay with him just being like this crazy dude that comes in and kicks people's heads off. So it's working for him. The whole gimmick right now is working for them, and I hope that they become a dominant tag team in the division. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do solo wise, but there's a lot of moving parts in this whole storyline. And I feel like a lot of it was like throwing noodles at a wall and seeing if it's stuck. But the only good thing that, like I said, coming out of this is that they're relevant and you're interested to see where this is going. And if they're going to run, you know, all over the tag team division, and that's what they're building them up for.
Personally, I think, I mean, early prediction, but I actually, the more I talk about it, the more confident I am about this, is that it is a whole massive, very intricate story, or very intricate plan, I should say, by Daniel Bryan to turn his back on Roman Reigns. It's just begging for that to happen at Hell in a Cell, and you have Daniel Bryan as the leader of Rowan and Harper in that on that stable, and you could point to, you know, Bryan said he's never a liar, and you could say, well, Bryan is not the one who actually committed the crime, but he was the mastermind, the one that set up Roman Reigns, the one that was, this is where the idea was generated from. So Daniel Bryan said he never lies, and when Daniel Bryan said he never lies, he said he had nothing to do with attacking Roman Reigns. So I think it's a little bit of a play on words. We're going to find out that it was actually Bryan all along, and that he's going to be managing these two, and I'm fine with that too. I'm fine with that. I think that could be a hell of a trio, and also, you know, that the fact that these two are a legitimate tag team. They could compete for the tag team championships at any point, too. WWE certainly needs depth in that department with tag teams. But I think that is ultimately what it's going to be. And pointing back to, if you want to know why Daniel Bryan did this, you could point right back to exactly what we talked about at the Royal Rumble and how he derailed his career. And, you know, you were the favorite. And, man, you know, you could point to some real stuff and real motivation as to why Daniel Bryan would be angry at Roman Reigns and decided to attack him when he did. So, I don't know. That's just my take.
Yeah, I can see that happening. That totally makes sense. You could also, like, with the aligning with Harper and Rowan to that brief stint when Daniel Bryan was in the Wyatt family, like, maybe they became friends, even though that, you know, ended very quickly when WWE realized that they pooped the bed. But, you know, they could just be like, yeah, we've been friends since, and they were there for me. And, you know, I had to deal with you being over and me getting overshadowed by you, and you didn't deserve it. So it works. It's something, again, like the stop pause that I keep talking about. There's a lot of moving pieces going on right now, and I think, like, everybody's trying to find their footing. I don't hate the combination of Bryan with Rowan, and I sure wouldn't hate it with Harper alone. Just hopefully it doesn't turn into another Wyatt family, because that's always the fear.
I don't think it will, but how cool would that be to have those three together, and then after Bray Wyatt's done doing whatever he's doing with whatever, you know, individual, you have the lights go out, and, you know, you have the Fiend, you know, appear in front of those three, and there's a lot of history with all three of them with Bray Wyatt. I mean, there's a lot of potential there, and, I mean, that's, of course, you have to also remember that the draft is coming up the week after the debut on Fox, so where all these individuals land is certainly going to tell the story as to who could match up with who, assuming WWE can actually, you know, have a little bit of discipline and not have people just randomly crossing over and have terrible, you know, wild card rules and just inexplicable stuff, and they can keep these worlds apart. So I think that maybe The Fiend lands on SmackDown. Apparently Fox is interested in The Fiend being a part of their weekly show. So right now The Fiend is the hottest thing WWE has, hands down. And so I don't know. That's just, I'm fantasy booking three steps ahead, but I don't know. It's intriguing.
Yeah, and also, you know, Fox, I mean, it's history. If you go back to the beginning of Fox, they've always been a little more lenient with stuff on TV. Not more now. I mean, they're kind of conservative, but when, you know, Fox started, they were the birthplace of The Simpsons and Married with Children, and that's how they got their footing, and that's how they became as big as they are. So they're not afraid to take risky chances on a primetime show on Friday night, because, you know, people are out on Friday night, so it's not that much of a worry about, oh, are we going to, you know, offend the kids? Like, they're already offending the kids with the Wyatt thing. Like, any kid that's watching that is getting traumatized right now. So I don't think they're afraid to take chances. I know that, like, the rumors were when Fox acquired SmackDown that they did want them going back to almost a PG-14 show and not this PG stuff. And, you know, WWE, to their defense, have gotten a lot better in the last 5 years of that. Not fully, but they have allowed a lot of stuff. So I think that could be a possibility with Bray Wyatt showing up on SmackDown in the draft. But I think he's going to be a floater. I think he's just going to show up whenever he wants. He's going to get the wild card permanently.
I think so too. So one more thing I wanted to talk to you about just briefly is, really the women's division as a whole. I mean, what's your take on Sasha and Becky, Bayley, who still continues to come out obnoxiously, and what the hell are you? You're not a heel. I mean, I don't want to start cussing because I'm going to get really annoyed with this whole, quote, heel turn that's not a heel turn. So she's a tweener, so people still cheer for her, but she's a babyface that tries to pretend she's still a baby. And this whole thing is just bizarre. I don't like tweeners. That doesn't help anybody. So that's a whole thing. But, like, what do you think about Alexa and Nikki? I mean, like, as a whole, what's your take?
Well, I'm going to start this out with, I've been really busy and swamped with schoolwork, and I have been watching stuff. It's just been on in the background. But the only tweets that I've been able to put out lately is when Bayley comes out on TV and her music is still playing. If anybody follows me on Twitter, I immediately start going, are you kidding me? That's it. And then the OC comes out this week, Luke Gallows. Why can't I think of his name right now?
Carl Anderson.
No, I'm not. Yeah, Carl Anderson. That's it. I was thinking of K and I was saying Kurt. Come out with new music. And it's really good. It's much better than their old music. And I'm like, they get new music and Bayley's still trotting out here like she's Macho Man and waving her arm. Like, I don't understand it. I can't take it seriously. I think she is taking down Sasha's, she really isn't, but a little. She's impacting Sasha's character as this total badass because it's a joke. She's a joke. Like, I don't care that she's the woman's champ. She's a great wrestler and she deserves to be champ. But this whole gimmick and her aligning with Sasha, it should have been a complete and utter redo. And I've said this every podcast that we, since this has happened, and I say it every week, every time I hear somebody has new music, like, who else? Somebody else got new music too. And I'm just like, why can't they give Bayley new music? Like, you
Eric
don't want to change your outfit?
It.
Huh?
Eric Rowan even got new music.
Yes, Eric Rowan got new music. Like, all these people are getting new music. And it's just like, you just, I don't know, whatever. It's the same thing with you. It's a pet peeve of mine. You don't want to change your gear? Fine. Dress her in darker colors? Fine. Like, they should do, like, a goth Bayley. It would be awesome. But, like, change your effing music, dude. Like, I can't. I cannot deal with it. So, anyway, that's my rant, and I'm done for that.
I'm not really clear how you feel. You need to like really tell me.
It's so annoying.
You're kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I mean, look, I'm going to try to talk about that calmly really quickly. I mean, like, I am a Bayley fan. I think she is a good character, but not as a babyface. I mean, like, they botched her intro from NXT completely since she came up to the main roster, and they did not understand what made Bayley really likable in NXT. And, like, I just don't understand this latest, quote, heel turn is not really a heel turn, especially, as you said, they have the same music. I don't need Bayley coming out there and pretending she's still a babyface. I can't believe, you know, like, we talk every 3 weeks, and, you know, 3 weeks fly by, but that's 3 weeks of television that you should see some progress in a character, and it's the same damn thing that we're saying. I can't believe every 3 freaking weeks we're saying the same thing about Bayley. And the thing is, we're saying it because we see the potential in her truly turning a heel. And I don't know if they're just kind of gun shy and they don't really want to truly pull the trigger. They're just kind of like, we'll kind of just put the tip in, to be kind of vulgar. Like, it's just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, you know, just the tip. Not really. Like, are you going to do it, or are we not doing this, right? Like, I don't need this in-between stuff. And that's exactly, unfortunately, what they're doing with Bayley, who is, when you're a tweener, you become kind of indifferent to fans and go, I don't know what to do with you. So, and you're the SmackDown Women's Champion on top of it, so you're taking the belt down with you. I don't know. This whole thing just makes no sense. Either go fish or foul, you know, crap or get off the pot, whatever analogy you want to use. Bayley just needs to pick a damn side and stick with it. I don't want her to go back to babyface. So there is a right answer here, WWE, and it's to just truly turn her heel and let her see what she can do. I think it's the right time, and just effing do it.
Since you were able to say it's like just put in the tip, she's collectively,
yeah, I'm starting to lose my
she's collectively giving the WWE universe blue balls, and yeah, she's like doing her.
Let's be clear, yes, it's akin to that. It's kind of like, you know, yeah, we're gonna do this. We're totally gonna do this. Oh yeah, and then you know, you get all excited, you start getting, you know, you start feeling it, and then all of a sudden you're like, I think you should probably go home. Yeah, I got to get to bed. You know, that's what it's kind of like. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, I don't know. And that's kind of like what I feel like I'm being teased with, is Bayley turning heel. And I don't know. So, yes, that's a very good analogy.
Yeah. So I don't know. The Bayley thing we could put aside for a second. The women's division, I don't know right now. I want to see Sasha get that title off of Becky. I feel like Becky's gotten a little more momentum the last couple weeks since she's been going against Sasha. I feel like all the crap that happened with Seth Rollins has been largely forgotten. So it's always, you know, if you have a good dance partner, it works. And, you know, Sasha is a good dance partner. So the toughness is coming back. Also, another person who needs new theme music is Becky Lynch. They need her coming out to like some chick metal song, like get rid of that freaking ska, whatever Irish band music that they have her coming out to. She needs something harder, because when she walks out, man, she looks tough as nails. She looks akin to Austin. You do not want to F with her. But that music just completely deflates the whole entire image. Like, if you put it on mute, you're like, hell yeah. But then you turn it on, you're like, oh, geez, what is this, a Dropkick Murphys concert? Like, she needs something cooler. She needs something tougher. She changed her gear. She looks badass. But yeah, I feel like she's regained a little traction. But I do want to see Sasha win the title. And I think Sasha should be running gunshot all over that whole entire division. And I think that Bayley should be doing it with her, because Bayley, again, is a great wrestler. But if you're putting these pieces together, you got to change the formula. Like, I know that doesn't make sense. It makes sense in my mind. You got to shift. Every great character evolves. And I know there was a time where John Cena, and he's probably never going to turn heel. I mean, John Cena has been the same character. Bayley could have been that. They were calling Bayley the female John Cena when she was in NXT. She could have done that. But like you said, they crapped the bed with her up call, getting called up. So I don't know. The women's division is kind of falling flat. I like Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross's characters, but again, it doesn't work. Like, Nikki Cross is supposed to be this crazy person, like, you know, kind of scary, has scary music. And Alexa's scary, but she's like a different scary. Does that make sense to you as a girl? I'm saying this as a female. Like, she's like the mean girl. But is Alexa
a face? She's Regina George.
Yeah, she's Regina George. Is she a face now, though? Is that a face tag team? Because it seems like Nikki Cross is a good guy, but Alexa's always been a heel, and she's a damn good heel. And, you know, their opponents is like kind of wishy-washy. I mean, thank God, you know, Kairi Sane and Asuka finally got a win the other week. The division seems like it kind of just, they did all this build up for Ronda Rousey, and then when Ronda went away, they just like were like, ah, okay, well, we're going back to treating it how it was. They're still having long matches, which is great. You're still having good matches, which is great. But if you look at NXT, the division is like 80 billion light years away from the main roster, and it's not supposed to be like that anymore. That's why NXT happened, and that's why all this happened. It's just very back and forth. I don't know how I feel about it right now. I really don't have like a set favorite girl wrestler. I mean, I'll say Alexa just because of her chops on the mic, but that's how I feel about the women's division right now.
Yes, it's just lukewarm. Like, I kind of care about some stuff going on, but other stuff I don't. Sasha has cooled off in a stupid amount because they decided to take the mic away from her after a couple of weeks after her return. So she's had almost nothing to say, which I think is a complete disservice to how hot she was as a heel coming back. And I think, yes, Ronda Rousey leaving was a big loss. We all complained about how we hated Ronda Rousey. She was a great heel. She was great as a heel, and she grounded the women's division to a point where you didn't realize how much she grounded the division until she left. And you could say what you want about Ronda. She put the women's division on the map and really solidified the credibility of the women's division and made you care week to week what the hell was going to happen with Charlotte and Becky. And now you have Kairi Sane and Asuka. Again, great. I'm glad they got a win. They deserve it. They need to gain momentum and maybe even be the WWE women's tag team champions. I think that could be a nice run and add credibility to those belts. And Alexa and Nikki, yeah, I guess they're just babyface by default because they're facing Sasha and Bayley this past week on Raw. And Sasha and Becky, yeah, I'm excited for the match. Is it deserving of the Hell in a Cell? I don't know. Is the rivalry that heated that it has to go inside the cell? No. I think actually Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon deserves the Hell in a Cell more than Becky and Sasha do. And Kevin Owens and Shane are having a ladder match at Hell in a Cell. It's just so backwards to me. But I don't know. I'm going on a rant. I know we're crunched for time here.
No, I mean, you can continue. It's just, there isn't a really, like, line of thought to, like, talk about. Are the matches still good? Yeah, it just feels like they have less, this is what it feels like. It feels like they have less people in the division than they do. Like, it's just kind of focused on, like, three or four people. Like, who did Ember Moon wrestled on, what, Tuesday? I don't know who she wrestled. And I, like, walked out of the room because I didn't care. And I like Ember Moon. I was like, yeah, I don't care. And I, like, walked out of the room. So it's just, I feel like they need to rebuild their characters and they need to get, like, better footing. And they definitely, like, where have been the Iconics? The Iconics have not been around. And they were, like, part of the best of WWE TV. They're entertaining. They're okay in the ring. I think they need work. Maybe that's where they went. But, like, they're gone. I mean, Nia Jax has been gone. I know she's injured. But it's just, It seems like the whole Maria Kanellis thing last week with Rusev coming back. We didn't even talk about that. What was that? What was that disservice to Lana? Was that even intertwined? Was it saying that Rusev was the baby daddy? Or was it just he was interrupting her? Like, I don't know what's going on. So it just feels, again, very scattered.
They're just doing stuff. Yeah.
They're just throwing stuff. And here's the thing. They're going to Fox, and it's in a different time now. So, like, the last time SmackDown was on regular TV was when it was on Channel 9, and I don't even know how long ago that was, early 2000s. Women's stuff is huge on TV now. So if you're going to be on Fox, you got to be damn sure you got focus on that women's division, because there are going to be a lot more women watching wrestling now than there was 15 years ago, and you need something for them to watch. And the division, talent-wise, is stacked, but you're kind of like, these characters have no direction. There's no set things, and you're doing the old tag team thing for the tag team division where you just put this person with this person. It's just, I don't know. I don't have any words to say about it. It's not that the quality of matches are bad. They're not. They're great. But, like, watching NXT last week and seeing the Fatal 4-Way, that match was amazing. So they need to step it up for national TV.
They do, and I think that they will. I mean, I really believe that, because the fact is that they solidified this deal a year and a half ago. Like, we all knew this was coming. They've circled this date on their calendar for God knows how long. They're going to pull out all the stops. I think that they have to take this seriously, because AEW, while they won't really label it as a true competition, they could be true competition if they just sit on their laurels. I really believe that, too. So, well, Mary, listen, I could continue for another hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, but I know that we're a little bit crunched on time, and 3 weeks always flies by anyway, and hopefully we will not be talking about Bayley, the side ponytail, wacky waving inflatable tube man entrance that, yeah, I don't need it anymore. So hopefully we'll have that same conversation again. But after the next time we talk, Hell in a Cell will be done, and we're going to be, what, my God, going towards Survivor Series.
Yeah, and Halloween, October is always a busy month. I'm going to hope I'm not going to be dead from Spanish homework. I know I keep mentioning Spanish homework. I have a lot of Spanish homework, and I am terrible at speaking Spanish.
Oh, no. Oh, well, that's not good. Well, you have Google. You can do, like, Google Translate or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but it's not so much understanding. I understand it. I speak Jersey, as I keep telling everybody. It's the only dialect I have, so it is affecting all my pronunciation. So I sound like a complete idiot when I'm speaking it. So.
Oh, no. Oh, well, all right. Well, then we'll let you get to that. But before you go, let everyone know where they can find you on social media and see all those awesome pictures with you and Buffy.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at @Mare_Bare, @Mare_Bare. And my Instagram is at @Poppins311. And check out Sarah Michelle Gellar's Instagram, because I am currently on her story, and that is now my claim to fame for the rest of my life.
Your life is now complete.
Yeah, no, I've been saying all day I can die. Like, I literally can die because I put a post up on Facebook that says I'm never going to be cooler than this. This is my coolest moment. I can die tomorrow.
This is like the crescendo of your life was Tuesday.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the Giants win was pretty sweet because I was hurting. My team has been really bad. You know the pain. And it's really weird watching. It was the first – it's the first quarterback to debut for the Giants since my father has passed, so it was really weird watching a new guy and not hearing my dad scream. So it was kind of bittersweet on Sunday that he won. But, Yeah, after that, like, it's all sweet from here. I can't complain. So I could walk out tomorrow and get hit by a car and I'll be happy. I met my idol. So I know that's really morbid. I'm a morbid person. People know that, but it's true. I've had a pretty good week. I haven't had a good week like this in a long time. So.
All right. Well, hopefully it continues, and check her out on social media, and we'll be looking forward to that Buffy podcast you keep promising.
I'm working on
too.
It, guys. I'm working on it hard. Go on Instagram and find Dan Vito and start screaming at him and tell him that, like, he needs to do a podcast with me.
All right. You guys heard her here first. So, all right, Mary. Well, listen, you go do your Spanish homework, and we will talk again in a few weeks.
All right, dude. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.